And welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here in the main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Sondra. Hi, Sondra, how are you?
Hi, Kenny. I'm doing all right. I am back from Metropolis and trying to like reintegrate myself into normal life where not everyone is wearing spandex costumes around me. But I had such a great time when I was there, and I got a little bit of a break. Like, I didn't take a complete break from wrestling or anything. Like, so many of my friends there are wrestling fans that we're still talking about it. But it was just kind of nice to be outside of like normal WWE life and culture for like 4 days. I found it very refreshing just to kind of like, I don't know, focus on something else, focus on superhero love and all that kind of stuff. So it was a blast. How are you?
I'm good. I was going to not tell this story, but I feel like people will enjoy my misery. So,
oh no,
the weekend.
I haven't even heard this story, so I don't know what's happening. I've barely talked to you.
I've never done this before in my life, so I'm beyond embarrassed about it. So Big Steve Gunn comes up for the weekend. And we watched Super Showdown on Friday, thoroughly disappointed, the whole lot. Saturday, mm-hmm. We are going to take Hulk over to my friend's house, who's going to look after him, and have a couple of drinks. And then Sunday morning, we're flying to London to go and see Kelsey Grammer, front row, post-show meet and greet, the whole shebang. Been looking forward to it for months. Got a Fraser script, I'm getting all signed. So, we go on the Saturday night, we're drinking. We leave Becca's at like 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we were like drinking fairly okay for like 2.5 hours. Then we watched lip syncs for an hour, so the drinking increased. And I came home
as it's wont to do,
as it happens when YouTube is available. So I get home and I am sick in the toilet, which I'm rarely sick with booze. Then I passed out in the toilet with the door locked, as Steve's trying to wake me up and push the door. Then I cry. Don't know why. No idea. I don't really cry. So that's another thing I'm off with. And apparently at that point, at 1 a.m, whatever it was, I was like, I don't think I'm going to make the flight in the morning. Which is at 9:30. And he said, that's okay. You know, if you can't make it, you can't make it. It's because, you know, he's so laid back, he's horizontal. So he's not like me.
Right.
And then I woke up thinking, so this is it, like we couldn't go to London, miss Kelsey Grammer, that's part of it. And you think that's bad enough, because I've got to live with the fact that it was me that did that. I overindulged. So
this does sound like a huge power balance shift situation.
It does. Well, luckily on Saturday it's gonna shift back, his birthday anyway. So so I wake up in the morning, or well, noon, because I just couldn't have done the flight. I was too hungover. And then, like, any train or whatever was going to be, like, £200. And I wasn't 100% convinced that I'd be able to make it through. So it was a write-off. And then I wake up, and Steve's just looking at me with this grin on his face. I was like, what are you grinning at? He said, well, it's just quite embarrassing, isn't it? I was like, I know, I've missed Fraser. He said, no, that's not the embarrassing part. I said, what? He was like, you got up in the middle of the night, and you went over to the corner of your bedroom and peed.
Did you really?
I'm like, what? I've never done that before in my life. I was like, no, I didn't. Anyway, yeah, all over my jeans.
Oh my gosh. I've never seen you that far gone.
Me neither. I didn't drink that much, though. There was the three of us split a bottle of raspberry vodka, and then there was like half a bottle of Smirnoff left, so like Stuart and I took a pretty strong glass of that. I think it's because
Steve and you took a
Steve me. So the night before Super Showdown, I drank a lot, and I felt quite hungover on Saturday. And then I don't know if it's just like I drank too much in a small space of time at the end. I don't know if that's the thing.
Sometimes that'll do it, and sometimes it's a combination of things. If you're drinking raspberry vodka and it has so much sugar in it too, like that could definitely contribute to getting sick.
So Sunday was a write-off, and yeah, it was very embarrassing. So I have to live with myself for that.
Yeah, I've definitely never seen you that far gone. That's actually surprising to me, but it's a bummer. I'm glad that you're. Are you feeling better now?
I mean, I'm drinking a Strongbow while we podcast, so you know the my well. Anyways, I was gonna be sober. I was like, I'm gonna take a week off from drinking. But this is embarrassing. The next night, Steve and I go for dinner, and he's like, I'm just gonna have a pint with dinner. Oh, for fuck's sake. So I got a can of cider to take up the road. So I felt like I was respectable, you know?
Yeah, it's a can of cider. It barely has alcohol in it.
I know, but well, so it's got
If
4%
it's Strongbow, it's
alcohol.
like, I was going to say, Strongbow's under 5%. Not that I know my alcohol by volume of various ciders. I totally do. Yeah, that's a thing. It's my job. It's okay.
It's your job. So,
My job that I have to go back to tonight. Ugh.
how are you?
I'm
How was
okay.
Metropolis?
Metropolis was amazing. It was so good. It was one of my favorite Metropolis trips that I've had
Did you finally
in
have sex with
years.
Superman this year?
I mean, unfortunately, I missed the boat, but it would feel weird because, like, I'm kind of Superman's mom. And so that would just be like this whole incestuous thing.
Or is it
'Cause,
like a
like,
good weird thing, like here's some milk, like a beaver cleavage situation?
I don't feel like Superman and I are at beaver cleavage levels. But no, because my standard outfit that I always wear every single year in Metropolis is Lara Lor-Van, right? Who is Superman's mom on Krypton. And I do the Silver Age one, so it's like a yellow dress, red cape, super easy, super like light, because it's always really super hot and sticky in Metropolis. So it's nice that there's this costume that's basically just a sleeveless dress with a cape on it, right? And like one of my very good friends down there cosplays as Superboy a lot of the time. He's actually St. Louis Superman. Like he does appearances at baseball games and stuff. David McCutcheon knows him. And like we've had this thing for a long time. So we got to take some mother and son photos, which was really cool. That was kind of a highlight of the weekend. And for the first time in years, I actually put together a second costume and dressed as Zoya the Destroyer, which was super fun from GLOW. And some people actually did recognize me from it too. Some people were just kind of like, why are you Russian? But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. I got to take pictures at, you know, at the wrestling show that ended up going on Saturday night despite the rain. I was kind of nervous for all the guys in there, but apparently the canvas wasn't too slick. One of my friends actually ended up getting himself booked as a referee randomly, so that was kind of an enjoyable night. I don't know, like I had a great weekend just hanging out with friends and kind of just being away from the daily grind of life and getting to, I don't know, celebrate other areas of my geekdom, which was a lot of fun. And then there are always the people who come up to you and want to talk about wrestling because they know that it's your job. And it's like, I kind of want to be away from that right now. Like, you know, like I always enjoy talking about wrestling, but there are just certain types of wrestling fans. Yeah, and you get this all the time too, where people are like, well, I just think it's a shame what Vince is doing with the WWE, and it'll be so much better when Paul takes over. And I'm like,
It's when they
yeah, like
call him
this isn't.
Paul.
Yes! Like that's really the thing
I'm
that
so
always
glad.
just makes me
I'm so
cringe.
glad Phil left when he did.
Oh my gosh, it drives me insane. And it's like, that's a, you know, like it's a conversation to have the power dynamic in WWE. And a lot of people are very disillusioned with Raw and SmackDown right now, myself included. But it's just like, when people feel like they can talk like insiders because they like follow Dave Meltzer on Twitter or whatever, then I'm just like, ugh, these are not the conversations I want to have. But overall, like most of my friends down there are really cool to talk to, and we all just hang out in our big dorks and go out on zombie runs at night because there's an app on your phone where you can like make it so that you're running from zombies. So we always do this like midnight excursion through town and get to the Noel Neal statue. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. I'm glad you had a non-wrestling weekend,
Yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I wanted to one very quick thing I wanted to say before we start is one of our listeners, Alan Provo, had put something on Facebook, and he did not intend it this way, but I'm just going to rebut in another way. And he was basically like, you know, if you've got the network and if you don't like Raw or SmackDown, you know, try something else. Try independentwrestling.org or whatever the what's the indie one?
It's independentwrestling.tv, and it is well worth the subscription.
So I just want to know what he has said is valid, and if you're an independent wrestling fan, it's completely valid. I'm just going to give you another side of it. Some of us just like big budget, glitzy, glamorous sports entertainment. That is what we like, and you shouldn't be shamed for liking that. So
No, that's fine.
while some people might want to check other stuff out, which is totally valid, don't make other people feel bad for having the network. The network, as much as some people don't like, is phenomenal value for money with how much stuff you have, because you've got all the classic stuff, original content, NXT, NXT UK, there's 205 Live, all this stuff on it for a tenner. So there's a lot of people, I think, who get a lot out of it without... Because I think watching the weekly shows and having the network, kind of two different things. Because a lot of
Two very different things. I mean, like, I don't use the... Well, I use the network weekly for NXT because, you know, like, watching it. And Retro Raw. And so, like, most of the content I watch on the network isn't, like, current Raw and SmackDown replays from a month ago. It's, like, from 20 years ago. And I use that, yes, because it's my job. I probably wouldn't be watching Retro Raw if it weren't my job. But, you know, like, that's... It's an enjoyable part of what we do here sometimes when Vince isn't revealed as the higher power and everything goes to hell. but... You know, not that I'm still a little annoyed about that right now. I kind of am.
Imagine 20 but, years of salt about that.
And I, by the time I'm 54, I'm sure I will have that. But yeah, it's there's a lot on the network. There are the specials. I know a lot of people in the comments on that post, because I did see it. And I know Alan didn't mean it in the way that's like, you should totally cancel your network because you're dumb for having it. Like, that's not it at all.
It's no, he didn't mean
like,
that.
He more meant it as, like, if you are not satisfied with the network, and if you're looking to cancel it, and if you're looking for other wrestling, independentwrestling.tv is fucking phenomenal. Like, Beyond has, I mean, I've mentioned on the show before, Beyond has their Uncharted Territory show. It's live every Wednesday night. It's a two-hour show. Yes, it's broadcast from a bar. It is not glitz and glamour. Like, on last night's show, they had to announce in the middle of the show, like, hey, everyone who's parked across the street, your cars are going to get towed, so, like, you should probably go take care of that. And there's another part of the show where, like, some cops had pulled someone over, and that's basically, like, providing lighting effects for the match, because that's just, you know, that's the spirit of independent wrestling, right? But some of the matches on that show are just phenomenal. Like, Chris Statlander versus Joey Janela tore it down last night, and for everyone on Twitter saying that it's a five-star match and, you know, match of the year contender and all that kind of stuff, it's not hyperbole. Their match was so good. It also had Thomas Santel versus Travis Huckabee, which was very, like, grappling and submission based, and Thomas Santel is basically an old school nerd, and Travis Huckabee is kind of a throwback kind of catch as catch can like style wrestler. So there's a lot of variety on there, right? And I get really excited about that stuff, because I'll be honest, like, coming back from Metropolis, I was like, right, I need to get back into the wrestling frame of mind. I need to get back into watching it. And, like, I watched parts of Raw and I watched SmackDown, and I was like, okay. Like, I was just kind of finding it to be a little bit of a chore. I'm like, do I need to, like, distance myself from wrestling a little bit, because I'm just not feeling it? And then I watched Beyond and I was like, no, I love wrestling. Wrestling's my favorite thing in the world. And so then I watched 205 Live, and I was like, 205 Live was so good this week. One of the best episodes they've done. And then I watched NXT, 2 weeks worth of NXT. I apologize to everyone that I haven't done Yellow Ropes Forever for the post-takeover episode yet, because cards on the table, I forgot while I was gone.
Who could forget but such great episodes?
It was not a bad post-takeover episode. Keith Lee versus Kona Reeves was fine. But, you know, like, that's going to happen in the next couple days. I'm going to record that. It'll be fine. But I watched these shows and I was like, no, wrestling's really great right now. There's so much to love about it. And it's seeking out other alternatives that, for me as a wrestling fan, has kind of, like, rekindled my passion, even in just a couple days, like, reminding myself the wrestling that I love is out there and so available. So I think that's a very long-winded way of saying, Alan's post was just saying, like, a lot of people are disillusioned with wrestling or falling out of it. If you seek out an alternative and find something else that you like, sometimes that's helpful. But some people, to your point, just want glitz and glamour and big production, and there's nothing wrong with that either. It's just about finding what works for you.
I'm just finding that the voices of the kind of independent, and look, I get the appeal of independent wrestling, I do. I just think that those voices kind of are so loud sometimes that the people who are just like, I just want to have the network, like, almost get shut down. And my point is just, like, I know a lot of people who only really watch WWE, and they watched AEW, because AEW is kind of the first real comparison. Because a lot of people don't really care about, is this a great wrestling match? Like, there is a portion of a large portion of wrestling fans that are concerned with that, but some aren't. And, you know, I think for people who are like, what I said in the post, I said, you know, if you're a big WWE fan and you like sports entertainment and that's what you like, then, you know, the network's probably still pretty good value for money for you. But, you know, AEW is probably going to be something else that would work for you if that's the kind of wrestling that you like. For independent wrestling, if you're a WWE fan who's just kind of, you don't really know if you like indie wrestling, go to a show. Go to a show nearby,
yeah,
or and check it out and see if you like it, because, you know, you want to check out that you like something before you start putting $10 a month down to it, because the independent wrestling one, I could spend the $10 a month on it, but I'd probably watch one match out of 1,000. So it wouldn't be worth it.
Well, the nice thing with the independent wrestling one is they do have a 20-day free trial. And I know I sound like a shill, but like I really, really love their service a lot. So I want to promote it because I want it to do well, because I want it to stay around. But they do have a 20-day free trial. And if you're looking for recommendations of stuff to watch, like ask me on Twitter. There have been people who, because Chikara is also on that service. And so like people have gotten in touch with me on Twitter and said like, hey, I'm looking to get into Chikara. Where should I start? Is there any match that you'd recommend? I am more than happy. If I see your tweet and I'm not like at work or something, I'll usually get back to you right away on that stuff, because that's, you know, like that's my passion. Like that's the wrestling that I super love. So I am more than happy to discuss it. Like when I was stranded in Colorado and ended up watching Chikara with Andrea, like now she's into it. And we're like talking about that and all that kind of stuff. It's that's what makes wrestling fun. And that's the fun part about, you know, doing this podcast and kind of having the community of people on Facebook, is that we can all kind of share ideas and bounce them off of each other. And I'm more interested in talking about wrestling that I like than wrestling that I don't like, which is why we're probably not going to go super in depth on Raw and SmackDown this week. I don't know. Did you even watch Raw and SmackDown this week?
I did. I thought this week's SmackDown was one of the most lifeless television shows I've watched in years.
It was so
And here's the thing. I'm going to say something I never thought I'd say. And I say it with no hyperbole. This is going to be a shocking statement. But I have reasons to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jinder Mahal was a better WWE champion than Kofi Kingston.
Wow.
Here's why. When Jinder was champion, there was the anger, right? But I cared about it. I cared about that belt. I cared about Nakamura beating him. I could not give two shits about Kofi Kingston's champion. And
do you think that's down to Kofi Kingston, or do you think that's down to overall apathy with the current state of things?
I think apathy's part of it, but, you know, because somebody, Sue, you had put a thing in the community about Kofi Kingston saying, you know, it's his time and that kind of stuff. And I know Stephen Ross had posted a kind of lengthy thing about it as well. Here's why I don't think Kofi Kingston works. He was a mid-card guy. He hasn't changed one part of his act. He's not elevated anything. He's not added any dimensions to himself. And I think that if you're a mid-card guy becoming a world champion, you have to elevate, because if you don't, then you don't come across like a world champion. And it's part of the problem, you know, he who shall not be named, Benoit. Benoit won the title in 2004, mid-card champion the whole time. The most unmemorable run. And
it's interesting because I see them handling Kofi Kingston better than Jinder Mahal. I mean, they gave Jinder Mahal wins on TV, right? Like they tried, but I think we just didn't believe that Jinder was capable. I think the difference for me is that I believe Kofi Kingston is capable. I believe he is good on the microphone. I like when, you know, I'm watching these meaningless tag matches and whatnot that are just sort of happening in front of my face and I can't be bothered to pay attention. Was it the 6-man tag? Was that the main event of SmackDown? Because
yes.
I did watch it. Okay. So Kofi Kingston got the pinfall in that match, right? And that makes me happy because it's like, oh, a champion is winning things on TV. That shouldn't be the bar. Like, that shouldn't be the bar that I'm setting for WWE, but my bar is so low for them a lot of the time that I'm like, okay, you're doing some things correctly. But the problem is that everyone feels mid-card right now. I don't think it's down to Kofi Kingston being the problem. I think everything feels mid-card. I think the women's titles both feel mid-card right now, but I don't think there's any one title that feels elevated. I don't think that Seth Rollins as Universal Champion feels any more interesting than Kofi Kingston as WWE Champion to me personally. It's just everything is this big stew of bleh. And that's the problem, right? And the only exceptions to that are the 24/7 title, which is brilliant, and Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse, which I hope never leads to wrestling ever. So,
well, you see, for me, it's like, I'm not blaming Kofi Kingston here. I feel like whenever I say something about it, it's like people think I'm blaming Kofi. I know that a lot of it is to do with the TV and how they produce it, but I don't think Kofi's elevated his game. I don't think he's had one memorable match as champion so far. I don't think he's done any better on the mic. I don't think it helped that Big E was injured, but we've just not seen any elevation. Nothing has changed.
I was reading Fuyu's post on Facebook, and this is going to be a shocking statement for me. I think Randy Orton should have been Kofi Kingston's first opponent. I think Randy Orton should have been in the WWE title picture as opposed to Kevin Owens, as opposed to Dolph Ziggler, as opposed to anyone else. I think it should have been Randy Orton, because Randy Orton is Like it or not, I will boo him forever for the rest of my life, but he is a main event star. And if Kofi Kingston had a convincing program with someone like Randy Orton, or I would say Roman Reigns, but they're not going to have Kofi just beat Roman Reigns, right? But like if they had him beat Randy Orton in a convincing way, I think that would have done a lot more to elevate Kofi Kingston than like feuds with guys like Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler.
I mean, that's true. I'm so bored by it and I just don't care. And if the, you know, I cared more about Jinder's title reign because I cared about wanting him, the belt to get off him. Now, that's not me all of a sudden saying, I'm so glad they put the belt on him. Excuse me, almost burped.
No, it's like comparing a bad thing to a bad thing.
But my problem is that I'm watching this show that's so lifeless and the guy at the top who is like, look, I came round to him winning the belt, right? I think the build was great. I think the win was great. Ever since, it's just like, I don't think he's proved anybody wrong in any way. And a lot of that's because he's not really been put in a position to prove people wrong. But at the same time,
yeah, I think he proved more people wrong on the way to the title than after the title.
And that's
the
problem.
Because I feel like he was elevated before he won the belt. I feel like he did step up his game. But I think since then, he's been kind of coasting on momentum, which is shown through their programming, because I feel like they're still celebrating the fact that Kofi Kingston is champion and not moving forward with stories.
And a lot of it's to do with the fact that the TV's lifeless. So it's not me being like, I hate Kofi. But it's like, the build was really good. The win was really good. Ever since, it's just been dull. And I think that, you know, I know some people don't like to watch wrestling in terms of viewership, but like, it's about getting people to watch. And I don't think people think the guy from the New Day is the reason. Like, there's been no dynamic between the New Day that's changed. There's been no, I'm not asking them to get serious, but I'm saying there could be something with the New Day or an inner thing, or, you know, Xavier ends up winning a battle royal and gets a title shot, so then they have to have a match together, and they have a great match where, you know, Kofi wins and Xavier's happy for him. Whatever you want to do, something. Kofi's not cut any good promos, he's not had any great matches, like, nothing's changed. And because he was a mid-card guy before, I think that's like 10 times more he has to change. 10 times more he has to, or evolve, not change. I'm not saying when he wins, stop being Kofi Kingston of the New Day, but it's like, Steve Austin had to change over time when he became, like, because in 1997, Steve Austin was not the top guy. He was a mid-card guy that got hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And then by the time he beat Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 14, he was the guy. And everybody knew it and everybody saw it and the crowd reacted to it and all that kind of stuff. But I still think it's there with Kofi. And I know that a lot of people love him. And that's the kind of, I think people want him to succeed. But at the same time, I'm just like, and I don't even know who I would put him against. You know, you say Orton.
I was just going to say, is there anyone else? Like, is there anyone else on SmackDown? And I know the wild card rule makes everything feel even more lifeless and like nothing matters. But like, is there anyone else on SmackDown that you would rather see the belt on right now? Because in terms of stars on SmackDown, who do we have? Like Roman?
Yeah, well, I mean, we should bring up some. I can't remember. Do you remember who tweeted this to us? The rumor?
What rumor?
Oh, well, let me bring it up because you're going to hate it. Who tweeted this to us? I don't have an answer, but I think that for right now, it's like having him as the champion is just, it's not the best time because everything's heightened at this point when you've got a bad TV show. So he's kind of the face of a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So, okay, here's the rumor. WrestleVotes says, I've asked what the payoff is to this major Shane McMahon pushing TV time allotment. No one seems to have a solid answer. One source said he could see, just as speculation, Shane being the one to defeat Kofi for the title. That would be something. And you know the worst thing is, I think it would mean more on Shane, and that's insane. It's absolutely
insane. I just can't.
Insane.
I just can't. We need to talk about the Shane McMahon problem then, because, oh my goodness, Shane McMahon is sucking the life out of these shows for me so much. Like, it's flames on the side of my face right now when it comes to Shane McMahon. I'm so annoyed. And like, I'm not saying that Shane McMahon cannot be an effective television character, but it is baffling to me that Shane McMahon is all over both Raw and SmackDown. And Shane McMahon, as a wrestler, as a wrestler, is being booked to the moon and being booked to beat everybody. Shane McMahon beat Roman Reigns at Super Showdown. What even the fuck is happening, Kenny? What sort of bizarro world are we living in where this seems like a good idea to anyone? It is so infuriating, and it's just at the expense of the rest of the roster. Like, we've seen on Retro Raw, when it gets to be just the Shane and Vince show, it's not my favorite thing, right? But at least back then, Shane McMahon was in his 20s and was a little bit more capable. Now, Shane McMahon looks like he's going to fall down by just standing there cutting a promo, and I'm supposed to believe that he can go toe-to-toe with the best wrestlers in the world? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that for one second. And it just being Shane McMahon keeping everyone down and getting heat and getting heat and getting heat, that makes me want to switch off the show. That's why I don't want to watch it, because there's no hope. There's no joy. There's nothing in me that believes it's going to change and get better if they just keep going back to fucking 40, however old, 49-year-old Shane McMahon. No. And he's not even good.
Well, the biggest problem with Shane McMahon is that what they have done with him over the last couple of years, it's got kind of worse, is that he is made to look equal to the people. Like, Josh on the community had said the other day, because he really likes Shane McMahon, and he was like, kind of trying to defend this, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, look, I get the appeal of Shane McMahon. I like Shane McMahon as a character. My problem is that I never want to see him being competitive. Like, when he had that 30-minute Hell in a Cell match with The Undertaker, why did The Undertaker need 30 minutes to beat him?
When they were just doing terrible jujitsu in the middle of a Hell in a Cell.
Like, why would The Undertaker not be able to crush Shane McMahon?
Yeah, he absolutely should be able to crush Shane McMahon. Because at least on Retro Raw, right? Like, when Shane McMahon is having these matches and when he's had, you know, admittedly, I've enjoyed Shane McMahon versus X-Pac quite a lot because there are shenanigans and he's using China and he's putting people in their way. And he is an athletic guy, right? Like, he is way more athletically gifted than his father in the ring, for instance. And he's willing to do all these crazy stunts. So there are places for Shane McMahon matches. Even now, like, I think we're kind of getting toward the end of the time for Shane McMahon matches. But, like, I really enjoyed AJ versus Shane McMahon in, was that in Orlando? At WrestleMania Sun?
Yeah, but the story of that match was that he couldn't do his shortcuts.
Yeah, and so he had to kind of step it up. And, I mean, I loved that match. I was, you know, surprised how much I loved that match because I really wasn't looking forward to it. I loved Shane McMahon versus The Miz at WrestleMania Liberty because, like, it was full of shenanigans and they were fighting all over the place. And, I mean, I wasn't there for that one live, but still it was like, you know, when Miz did that superplex and then Shane McMahon sort of beat him by a fluke because that's how they landed, it was like, okay, well, Miz will get his comeuppance, I suppose. And then he didn't. And then Shane won the cage match by slipping out of his shirt and he just keeps winning and it just makes everyone else look stupid. And, like, you can do that once, but you can't do that this many times in a row and have your roster be in any way credible against a guy who's not even a trained wrestler and is, like, an older dude on the roster who's not even trained. Like, it's very, very frustrating to me. And if he has been training in the past 20 years since he started all of this ordeal, then why are his punches still so bad?
They are horrendous. They really are. So I guess the point of it is, like, I mean, with Seth, I feel like Seth feels like a bigger star than Kofi, partially because he's working with Brock, who is a star. So there's, like, a by de facto rub from that. But, like, what is the answer? I don't know. Like, an angle that people like? Something that makes you care? Like, to me, that's what...
That would be great. Because we had that leading into WrestleMania. We had plenty of angles that we liked. We cared about Becky Lynch winning the title. We cared about Kofi Kingston winning the title. We cared about Brock Lesnar losing the title to anybody. And, you know, it being Seth Rollins was a good choice because we like Seth Rollins and he's been champion before and he does feel like a star-ish. As much as anyone does in WWE right now. But, I mean, honestly, the only things that really make me tune in, I always, you know, on Tuesday morning, if I haven't watched Raw the night before, then I will check out Firefly Funhouse, which is phenomenal, and we're going to talk about that. And I will check out what's happening with the 24/7 title. Those are the things that are keeping me interested. I know the 24/7 title isn't important to WWE because they cut it from Hulu, because I watched the Hulu cut of Raw this week, and it cut all the good stuff. Like, it cut the whole elevator shenanigans with, you know, R-Truth getting trapped in the elevator and EC3 saying that they might need to resort to cannibalism and using his plastic fork and Cedric Alexander kind of being in the corner and being forgettable and proving that he really didn't bring much to the conversation. So yes, you were proven correct, even in an elevator segment. That kind of stuff was fun because it was wrestlers bantering back and forth and Drake Maverick being like, guys, you know, I'm getting married soon. And he's having kind of an internal crisis about that. And EC3 is like, why wasn't I invited? And he's like, you're my best man. So we got to have EC3 and Drake Maverick interact. And those things are fun. Those things breathe life into a show. The rest of what they're doing just doesn't breathe life into a show. I mean, if you compare it to watching, you know, Beyond Uncharted Territory last night, Joey Janela had to get like really fiery and bring the fire out of Chris Statlander because Joey Janela wants to prove something to Jon Moxley ahead of their match at AEW, you know? And so commentary is doing a great job of explaining all these intertwined stories and intertwined promotions, and it's making the match better because it's making, you know, Chris Statlander had to like step it up and she kept kicking out of everything, like pile drivers through doors and all this stuff just couldn't keep her down. And she had so much heart and it was a star-making performance for her. And it made me invested. And I mean, I liked both of them as wrestlers anyway, but like it really got me behind them. And I was like jumping out of my seat and really cared who won. And when I'm watching WWE, even my favorite wrestlers, a lot of the time, I just, like I watch Bayley and she's the champion and that should be the happiest thing in the world. Like I commissioned my friend to paint a painting of Bayley and it's gorgeous and it's amazing. And I'm going to hang it in my house proudly. But like, it just kind of feels like nothing's happening there. And it's frustrating. So that's why, you know, when we talk about seeking out alternatives, that's kind of what I'm all about right now, because those things make me happy and I would rather not wallow in misery.
And also, I think if you are someone who's not a big indie wrestling fan, the network also has a lot of other stuff. You know, you can
And
watch
honestly,
past
if you
that.
like the production, if you like the production aspect of things, watch NXT and watch 205 Live. 205 Live this week was fantastic.
A few people have been checking out NXT and they've been really enjoying it. So I also want to say, to just close the point of my Kofi Kingston argument, Daniel Bryan is a tag team champion and Kofi Kingston is the world champion. It is the wrong way around.
It is the wrong way around, but also, where has Daniel Bryan been? Like,
Exactly, he's in this meaningless tag slump.
I mean, tag team wrestling in WWE is not exactly alive and well, right? We finally had the Raw tag team champions lose their belts on Monday after being off television for ages. And now the Revival are champions, but does it really mean anything for them? Probably not. Like, Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, what have they been up to for the past while? I don't know because we haven't seen them and they
But
haven't been
also,
doing
they brought
anything.
in tag belts when they don't have a tag division, is the problem.
Well, that's a problem, but I mean, you can't say the same about the men's tag team divisions and they haven't been showing those either.
No, but that's the problem. They have divisions that have enough tag teams that they don't use properly, and then they created a new set of teams. They created a new tag team championship, and what do you do? I mean, are we just prolonging Asuka and Kairi beating them, and then there's no competition for Asuka and Kairi? Like, what's
Oh yeah, remember Asuka and Kairi? Remember how they exist? Because I barely did.
the Kabuki Warriors? Just sounds dirty. But yeah, you did mention 205 Live. I did get a chance to see it this week. So Chad Gable and Jack Gallagher had a match where the referee called a shoot, so it was a count out finish and wasn't supposed to be. But they had a good match.
I was going to ask you what you thought of it because obviously this is something that's right up my alley, right? Like Jack Gallagher coming out wanting competition. Jack Gallagher's been on kind of a tenuous streak lately. Like he hasn't been winning a whole lot, and so he kind of almost needs to rise back up in the ranks of 205 Live after, you know, his shenanigans with Drew Gulak and Humberto Carrillo have been kind of done. He's trying to find his footing now, right? And so his competition is Chad Gable coming to 205 Live, who like I'm so happy to see Chad Gable on TV, and I'm so happy to see Chad Gable doing wrestling. And I thought Jack Gallagher and Chad Gable had a brutal match where they beat the shit out of each other and also wrestled really well. But this is, you know, this is something that's basically specifically tailored for me, but not necessarily for you as someone who doesn't pay as much attention to like wrestling moves and matches. So did the match work for you? Were you invested in it at all? Like, what did you think?
I liked the match. It kind of Dave Meltzer actually made my favorite comment where he said, "Did Chad Gable go into witness protection and that's the haircut? Like,
God.
is he just trying to not get rid this?" Okay, two parts to it. I'll do the bad part first. It's the
Okay.
Tyler Breeze syndrome all over again. Somebody's
Right.
being demoted, retreated as a great thing. It's not a great thing. It's another indictment of the system, failure of the system, blah 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 blah. The good part is that on 205 Live he probably will be pushed, so like I guess that's good. I mean, the problem is on 205 Live, you have to work 10 times as hard to get half the response, which is really unfair. But A really
But they're
good match.
managing to do it.
They
Like
are. I
by the
mean,
end of the main event, the crowd was super, the crowd that stayed was really, really into what they were seeing. So at least that's positive.
they were. Yeah, I mean, I've said for ages I really would like them to take 205 Live back to Full Sail or put it somewhere that it's a,
Or before the show.
or yeah, even before the show. I mean, I think before the show you'll still not get that like the NXT vibe is kind of what you want. Not the same thing. Not Mr. Everton Man that annoys me every show, but. You want a crowd who are fully invested, and when you get, I mean, we've been to wrestling shows before. Sometimes you go to Raw or SmackDown, and people don't know if Brock's still on TV. So, like, how do they know who Akira Tozawa is? Do you know what
They
I mean?
don't.
So that's the problem, is that, and it's not fair that the guys have to work so much harder to get there. But I thought they had a good, really good match. I knew there was something up with the finish when it happened. I just it looked weird.
Do you know who was supposed to win?
I don't. I imagine Gable was supposed to win, but Gallagher was not supposed to get counted out.
Right, because
So
it was wonky because he took a 10 count and he almost rolled under the rope by 10, but then didn't. But the ref, I mean, this is what referees are supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to call it as though it's a shoot if something like that happens. So he did call for the bell, and they looked a little confused afterwards. But I think they handled it well. Like, it wasn't like Jack Gallagher looked pissed or anything like that. Chad Gable was just kind of like, you know, asking like, oh, is this kind of what happened? It felt surprising, but it worked because it felt a little more authentic that way, to me anyway. And after they beat the shit out of each other. I mean, both of them were bleeding. Jack Gallagher had welts on him that appeared throughout the match. Chad Gable's mouth was all bloody. It looked like he finally was like, oh yeah, I'm actually a really good wrestler, and got to show that again for the first time in a while. So that was, I don't know, that was kind of great to see. And I want to see more with the two of them. And I want to see more of Chad Gable on 205 Live, because I think 205 Live needs an injection of something new. Like, Humberto Carrillo was a great injection of something new in 205 Live. And I think having Chad Gable come and be part of that can only be positive for 205 Live as a brand, and for me, because then I get to see Chad Gable wrestle.
yeah, I mean, the match was really good. 205 Live was a really good show this week. Again, the problem is that if you're somebody like me who is not as much about the wrestling quality and you're more just about you want the big budget thing, it's hard to watch a show where like the crowd clearly don't care, and then you've got to have these guys. I feel I'm really annoyed that they have to work as hard as they do, because they shouldn't be having to pull out insanity, you know,
Yeah, they're fighting an uphill battle for sure. I mean, in the main event, it was the same thing, right? Like, those guys were going at it like crazy. What did you think of the main event with Drew Gulak and his new serious hair and, you know, attacking Noam Dar? Every time Drew Gulak changes his hairstyle or outfit, I'm like, can he get the title now, please? Please? Like, because he's a new person again.
I
But
know.
I feel like they see Drew Gulak as, it's a Samoa Joe syndrome, right? Where
What did he
they
do with
brought
his
in Samoa,
hair? Oh
he
my
slicked it
God,
back.
it's not good.
It's not good, but it's serious and angry hair.
He's
And have you
aged
seen his
himself
social
by 10
media?
years, and he's sexy.
I know. I
Well,
know.
he
No, it's
was.
like, it's actually showing that his hairline's receding a little bit, like in the front, which it's, I don't know. It's an interesting choice. But like, have you seen his social media where he's been posting all this like dark and cryptic stuff for weeks?
Nope.
And now, and so now it's like it's kind of come to fruition when he attacked Noam Dar last week, and now he's like serious, angry Drew Gulak, because, you know, like, and he's it's interesting watching him on NXT versus on 205 Live, because it's kind of a similar thing, right? Like, he was scouting Kushida and he was interested in that, and now he really wants to get wins over Kushida, and he didn't. Like, he's 0-2 against Kushida now. So I'm wondering if that kind of out of order led to some kind of breakdown with him, because he has been losing a whole bunch. And it's frustrating to me as a Drew Gulak fan that they seem to see him as a guy who's like a utility player, who's going to get everyone else over, who's going to have killer matches, have great matches every single time, but he's never going to be their guy when he's so very capable of being their guy. And by that, I don't necessarily mean WWE champion, even though I think he's capable of that too. But, you know, like NXT champion or 205 Live champion or, you know, one of those types of situations, I think he would be more than suited. But they just kind of see him as someone to build other stars. And there's a role for that too. And I understand it, but it's just like, he's so fucking good.
I know it's, but I thought the show was good. I thought the show was fun.
Did the double pin work for you? The double pin with Drew Gulak and Akira Tozawa?
The double pin worked. In a nitpicky way, the main referee annoyed me a little bit. because I felt like he was being too like amateur dramatics.
Okay,
do you
I can
know what
see
I mean?
That.
Like I feel like he's yeah. Like he stamps it and goes, "No, he won!" And like I'm like, "Whoa, yeah. Cam!" Like because the other referee played it off really well. He was like, "Hey, like look, no, this guy, this is who got pinned." And I thought the spot was pretty inventive where he came off and rolled him in. I thought it was good. Like I liked it. And overall, I mean, I don't like Andy's really gonna care. I'm just someone who you watch so much wrestling, you look at the minutia more.
But well, he was more playing to the back of the room than to the camera, I feel.
He was. And but I thought it was good. I thought it was a good way to... And then Maverick didn't know what to do, so he's now got to decide, because he was saying that... Because the whole angle from what I've seen in this episode was that people are questioning... I saw Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis questioning his job because he does stuff on Raw and SmackDown. So it's like, well, you don't care about 205 Live.
Well, and it's always been that way. Like when he started managing Authors of Pain, they were like, can you really pay attention to both jobs? Can you do both jobs correctly? Can you do this adequately? And so now that he's so focused on his quest for R-Truth and the 24/7 title, they're questioning his decision-making ability, right? And so they're saying that he's let 205 Live just kind of run wild for a little while. So this episode was really about him making some decisions and asserting his authority, which is why he brought Chad Gable in, and which is why he also made the fatal four-way for the main event to establish a contender for Tony Nese. So they're actually telling some, this is how you do an authority storyline, right? Like Drake Maverick isn't the center of the show. The wrestlers are the center of the show, but he's kind of behind it steering everything. And the wrestlers are able to bounce off of him to advance their own stories. This is the kind of stuff I want to see, not Shane McMahon beating everyone all the time.
But that's even like, even when we watch Retro Raw, even though there's a lot of authority people all over it, the people around the wrestlers are stars. You know, you've got The Rock, you've got The Undertaker, you've got Steve Austin, you've got Mankind, all these people who are stars. They're not like kowtowing to these authority people, which is the main issue. And the only person that's really been able to overcome it is Roman Reigns, for the most part. But we should also mention the Revival won the tag titles on Raw. I actually thought the them winning because they're like Shane's guys was a pretty good way to do it. I mean, I still think they're leaving next year, but you know, until then, why not? And then there was Firefly Funhouse, which got intense.
Firefly Funhouse got so intense. Oh my gosh, I know that Firefly Funhouse is dark as fuck, but it got dark as fuck. Like, I didn't think I would have such a visceral reaction to the death of a puppet again. This is the second time Rambling Rabbit has died. If you haven't watched it, I mean, why haven't you watched it? But, you know, Rambling Rabbit kind of calling out Bray Wyatt and, you know, trying to attack Mercy the Buzzard because Mercy's trying to eat Rambling Rabbit again. And Mercy's like, it's the law of the jungle. And Bray's like, guys, you know, settle down. Do I have to go get the Fiend? And they stop because they don't want the Fiend, right? Because the Fiend is the scary one with the mask and all the creepiness and all this stuff. And Rambling Rabbit threatens to expose what's really going on in the funhouse. And Bray Wyatt, he's a very good actor in these. His face just drops. He's like, now, why would you do something like that? And then he ends up, you know, teaching Rambling Rabbit a lesson. Rambling Rabbit tries to give this speech about all this stuff. And Bray Wyatt brings down a hammer on Rambling Rabbit and smashes him and actually like smashes the puppet. And you see this like red goo come out of the puppet. And I was like horrified. I was just like, no, this is too gruesome for television, even though it's clearly not blood and it's clearly a puppet. And you know, when Bray Wyatt like licks it and then says that it's sponsored by Ramblin' Rabbit's jam or whatever, and to make everything a smash. And it's gotten really intense and I'm so invested and I hope it never leads to a wrestling match.
Yes, Finn and I were talking about it on the Power Slam podcast about how when Doink initially came into WWF, Evil Doink, he would like be in the crowd, like, and being evil to kids and stuff. And that was like the first few months he didn't wrestle. So hopefully they've got plans for Bray to not wrestle.
I mean, it seems like if he could maybe recruit people to wrestle for him or something like that. I mean, because the whole thing, right, is that, you know, my Fireflies, I can light the way. All you have to do is let me in. And so it's really establishing him again as a cult leader, but maybe an effective one this time, because there's an opportunity for it to be a different type of cult and for him to actually be effective at leading people. And I don't know, just the way these are written, you can tell that he has his hands in it, like, all over the place, because he understands Bray Wyatt as a character so well. And it's, you know, it's going back to a lot of the history of Bray Wyatt. It's touching on, it's, I don't know, the whole presentation of it just kind of, my mouth was open watching it. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what's happening? And the whole, like, heel and hurt gloves and everything he's doing. I think it's fantastic. And I want it to lead somewhere with storytelling, but I don't want it to be just Bray Wyatt wrestles a match, because there are so many other places you can go with it, you know, and that would just be a return to normal Bray Wyatt and heartbreak. And I'm too used to getting my heart broken when it comes. And also, like, the sign on the door that says abandon all hope, ye who exit here. Like, I love a good Divine Comedy reference. I really, really do. So that made me happy. It did make me laugh when someone tweeted, this should be the sign for NXT.
That was pretty great, yeah. It's
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm terrified. I mean, because we've got a pay-per-view in 10 days, Stomping Ground. And then,
that's right, we do, don't we?
And then, like, I mean, at some point, are we going to start talking about SummerSlam and, like, what MD wants to see at SummerSlam? Because SummerSlam's actually only 6 weeks after Stomping Ground, because it's, like, August 11th.
Okay.
No, it's August 10th? Something like that.
I don't know.
But it's only, like, 6 weeks after Stomping Ground, so there's not that much time.
There's not, and by now it seems like, you know, I'm always the one who's like, no, don't start talking about things too early, but I feel like at this point we really should be kind of seeing plans formulate, but it feels like no one really has any plan or any direction and everything's just repeating. Because isn't the card for Stomping Ground, like, I didn't watch Super Showdown other than, like, I did see Undertaker versus Goldberg, but, like, it's just kind of a lot of repeats, right? Like, it's Seth versus Baron again in a battle of why am I watching this show, and just Becky versus Lacey again, right? And
Bailey and Alexa Bliss.
Bailey and Alexa Bliss, which, by the way, why is Alexa Bliss doing the same story with Bailey that she did with Nia Jax, where she, like, we're supposed to think that Alexa Bliss is lying about Bailey being a bully, right? Or are we supposed to believe that Bailey's awful and Alexa's awful and everyone's awful and we shouldn't care?
Both.
Ugh. What even is this? I should be excited about Bailey as champion. Why are they ruining this for me?
I have no answers for you. I'm hoping this, like, I always remember Robert used to say something like, just when I'm about to give up, they do something that makes me want to watch again. So I'm just waiting for whatever that is. Whoever that is, whatever angle that is.
I mean, I could say, like, when the whole Becky Lynch angle started, I think that kind of rejuvenated a lot of our interest in WWE, right? Because we were so behind Becky and that was so cool and everyone was talking about it. And now it just, I'm hoping something happens soon. I really, really do. I don't know if it's going to take until they move to Fox in October for things to change or what's going to happen. At least the new SmackDown logo looks kind of cool. Did you see it?
I did, yeah. It looks pretty good. I mean, I know this week's SmackDown ended up going below a 2.0. Or was it?
No wonder. It's a terrible television program.
But it's not even that it's terrible. It's just, there's nothing to it.
There's no life. It's just flat. And so it's like, why would I spend my time watching something flat that just feels like a chore when there's so much other wrestling out there, big production and small, that makes me so much happier?
Yeah. It's under 2 million viewers this week for the first time since May. So this week, May 21st was just under. Actually, most of May. All of May was under. Oh, well. So yeah, it's just not a bit. But then the one, like, the Superstar Shake-Up one did, like, 2.2 million. So, yeah, it's not a great time to watch weekly WWE TV.
No. So thank goodness there are alternatives out there.
Yes. Whatever your alternative is, go find it on Beyond. What is the name of the thing again? Independent Wrestling.
IndependentWrestling.tv.
IndependentWrestling.tv.
Yep. And Beyond is on there. Chikara is on there.
127 promotions.
Yes, there are so many. So many. And there's a lot of awesome stuff and a lot of really awesome wrestlers that I'm a big fan of. Black Label Pro is on there as well. Another one of my favorite promotions.
Also, go check out WCW Thunder for the Pod of Thunder over on Patreon. You can see just a ton of shit on a consistent basis. I guess, like, it'll be not too long now before Road Wild, where Jay Leno steps in the ring.
Oh boy, get excited about that.
Get excited about him. Did you see that Martina the Session Moth is rumored to be signing with WWE for NXT?
I saw that she was at a tryout recently. Apparently, so that's the rumor.
Mm-hmm. What do you make
of
that?
Very cool. I think it's interesting. I could see her doing well in NXT.
Do you think she gets to keep the Session Moth thing, or do you think she has to change into a new character?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, I don't know how she could really keep the session moth thing completely, right? Like, I don't know if she's going to be able to, like, grind up on everybody and everything, but I hope that they allow her to keep some part of that, because if not, then that's kind of a bummer, right? Because that's a lot of what makes her her. But they've done it before too, though, where they've like taken someone's gimmick away. Like when Sami Zayn came into NXT, everyone was raging that he wasn't going to be allowed to be El Generico, and then we found out, oh my gosh, he's actually really, really great at having a face and emoting and speaking and all of this stuff. So I mean, I hope that she's able to keep some of that. I think they might see some of that as too similar to like a Vanessa Bourne situation too. So I don't know, but I mean, she's talented. She's awesome. So I hope that she does well. They just have so many like women that they're not really using on TV that bringing a bunch more in, I don't know, like they need more women. They need to feature more women prominently, but it's just, I don't know where you put everybody because NXT is an hour show.
Yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum at the moment, as to what to do. I mean, I mean, is there a July pay-per-view or is
Is she being signed to NXT or NXT UK? I just
NXT UK?
realized. Oh, NXT UK. Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to find the paper. As we're talking about WWE being a bit dull, I'm trying to figure out, is there another pay-per-view before SummerSlam? Let's have a look.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh God, there is.
Oh, what one?
Oh, it's Extreme Rules.
Oh no. Extreme Rules is usually a bunch of rematches too, because they're like, hey, we did this match and now it needs to be extreme. Except for Kofi and Dolph is already in a steel cage at fucking Stomping Ground. So for why? For what reason? I don't know. I'm trying not to sound so like depressy about like I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be the person who's like, ah, it doesn't matter. Because like I love wrestling. Wrestling's the best. That's why I'm so happy that you watched 205 Live this week and we could actually talk about it and have a discussion about it because that gives me joy.
Yeah, it was something. I do want to give a shout out, though. I said it. Some of the network original stuff has been great. Like, I watched the Ronda 24 special. That was great. Makes me pine for her to come back. Please, Ronda, come back. Dear God. I also watched the Triple H Road to WrestleMania one, which was really interesting, which kind of follows him for like the like Friday 10 days before WrestleMania, right through to the Monday after. And
Okay.
that was really good. It kind of covers all the NXT stuff, all the main roster stuff. And I also watched the WWE Untold on the buying of WCW. It's pretty interesting. It has Eric Bischoff and Booker T and Jeff Jarrett on it. And one
Does
of
it
the.
actually have new information, or is it the same old story?
No, like loads of good stuff. Like, it's got the guy from Fusion Media who was going to buy it with Bischoff on the phone. And he gives his take of it,
Oh.
where they were going to take the show, their plans for it, all this kind of stuff. So. And it's only 20 minutes. It's like a really nice, breezy watch. So there is good stuff out there that I would recommend. And obviously there's NXT as well.
Yeah, there's NXT as well. And just,
Oh, I also watched
talking.
them. I watched the NXT UK with the Pete Dunne Walter rematch. Really good.
Was it good? I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet. I do want to for sure. NXT UK has just been like it's fallen off my radar a little bit more than some of the other stuff just because there's, I'm watching a bunch of independent stuff too, so there's only so much time for wrestling. But no, like I've heard really great stuff about what they're doing and I love a lot of the performers there, so I'm glad to hear that they're doing well. I've actually been really enjoying. What do you think about the build to Fyter Fest? Have you been watching any of the Road to Fyter Fest stuff?
I've not had a chance to. I'm going to binge watch them soon, but I like the idea of the card. Like, I'm just trying to pull the card up here. Like, I like the idea of the Joey Janela match kind of being like Moxley's first one, and obviously,
And you
on.
have to see the Joey Janela promo that he cuts in a coffin. Or like by a coffin because he's always like Joey Janela's thing was always he was gonna die in the ring, right? And like he cuts a promo in front of a coffin, like this is what you want, this is what you want me to, have after this. But Moxley, I'm gonna take it to you. And while you were, in the big billion-dollar corporations having everything handed, like I don't know, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna binge watch now. But I like the idea that like, Joey Janela's it's essentially supposed to be the tune-up match, but like he's gonna want to be anything but the tune-up match.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point of his promo, and it's great. Joey Janela is like, he's fantastic right now. Just in everything I've seen him do, he just keeps stepping it up and up and up. And he's one of those like, 14 year in the making overnight successes as of a couple years ago, right? But he's absolutely killing it.
So we'll run down the card actually. So we've got Yuka Sakazaki against Riho against Nyla Rose in a three-way, which I'm really happy about because two of the women were obviously in the six women tag, and then Nyla didn't really get a chance to shine that much during the four-way. So this is gonna be a good chance for her to get involved and kind of they can bump around for her. So I think that's gonna be a pretty pretty interesting dynamic.
I'm excited for that match. I think it's gonna be great.
And I wonder if we'll have an appearance from the newest Inside the Ropes guest, Awesome Kong.
I'm so excited about this.
Is she going to show up? I guess we'll see. Christopher Daniels against Chima. Thema? How do you pronounce that? Is it Seema?
I think.
One of the strong hearts from OWE. Which, if there's more about that opener was, thanks, I'll have that.
Yep, yes, please.
Adam Page, Jimmy Havoc, Jungle Boy, and MJF in a four-way. Should be pretty interesting to see Jimmy Havoc kind of involved in a match that's not really with hardcore participants. See how that goes. I've only ever really seen him in hardcore stuff, so I'm curious to see how that comes into it.
I've seen him do this style of match like maybe once or twice, and he's very capable. He's very good at it. It's just like he's known for a lot of the hardcore deathmatch type stuff, but the thing is he's also like really good at the other stuff. So I'm excited to see him show that he can do it.
John Moxley versus Joey Janela. We've got the Elite, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks against the Lucha Brothers and a mystery partner. Any clues, any ideas who this mystery partner might be? Is it CM Punk?
It's totally CM Punk, confirmed. Totally at Fyter Fest. I have no idea who the mystery partner is going to be, but I'm excited to find out.
Same. I'm pretty stoked to find out.
It's nice when like there's a mystery and we're like, ooh, I wonder what this could be. Not just like, ugh, it's going to be nothing, right?
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have the desire to see more stuff, but especially because it's like you don't have the dread of it being Savio Vega. Essentially.
Exactly. Savio Vega is wrestling again, though.
Oh, I know. Edging his way back in. Prick that he is.
They need to bring back King of the Ring just for him.
Did you see the thing that was going doing the rounds about they were going to have a King of the Ring belt that Mabel was going to win? They were going to carry the belt around with him?
No, I didn't see this.
It is
Why would you have a belt and a crown?
Because what used to be, the King of the Ring used to be defended. Like, you won it and then, like...
Like, you were automatically in it the next year?
No, like, well, I think Jim Duggan, like, Haku was the king and then Jim Duggan beat him in a match. And then Savage beat Jim Duggan to become king. So I think it was, like, for a while.
But so it was, like, kind of like the Young Lions Cup where you have a tournament to set it up, but then it's, like, defended throughout the year? And then it resets?
This is before I was watching week to week, so I think it was just a case of, like, the kingship would be on the line sometimes.
Oh, okay.
But then they also had a non-televised King of the Ring. Let me see. Maybe it was the non-televised thing, then you automatically just became it. No. All the non-televised King of the Ring were completely different from the ones on TV.
So there were multiple Kings of the Ring?
Okay, the second King of the Ring winner, which was Harley Race, right, yeah. He then made the King gimmick his TV gimmick, so he was the King Harley Race. Then he got injured, so Bobby Heenan awarded the crown to Haku, who was also in his stable. And then he lost the crown to Hacksaw Jim Duggan on a show in 1989, and then Duggan lost it to Savage later that year. But then Savage abandoned it after WrestleMania 7 when he lost Ultimate Warrior. I guess sometimes.
So Ultimate Warrior didn't get to be the king, he just got to be nothing?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a bummer.
And well, you know, he won and he retired the Macho Man, so. You know,
true.
He got some stakes. And then the other matches.
Just saying, if you have the chance to win a match and get a crown, and win a match and not get a crown, always choose the crown.
I agree. And then we've also Cody versus Darby Allin, who I've heard that Darby Allin's in this Road to Fyter Fest series, right?
So, yeah. Really interesting promo from Darby Allin.
This is obviously not like a big show, but I think they've got enough on it that's going to make people want to check it out.
Well, and this one is streaming for free, correct? This is the one that's streaming for free on Bleacher Report. So I think that's a good hook for people to check it out, because whereas Double or Nothing was expensive for wrestling fans, right? Like it was $50. And that was prohibitive of a lot of people watching it. Like some of my friends I was talking to this past weekend are really excited about AEW, really want to check out their stuff, but the price tag of the pay-per-view, because they don't have a lot of friends around them that watch wrestling that could pitch in, you know, they didn't watch the pay-per-view, which is a bummer. So I think that streaming for free on Bleacher Report, easy for me to say, is kind of a good hook. So it's going to let people actually watch a show and kind of see what they're all about. And even if it has a smaller scale one, then you can kind of get a feel for the promotion. And I know you can, like, you got a little bit of that with the Battle Royal and with the Sammy Guevara and Kip Sabian match, but this will be a full show that people can check out in its entirety that is being built very, very well via the YouTube clips. Like, I'm not that familiar with Darby Allin as a performer, but after watching his promo on Road to Fyter Fest, I'm a lot more interested in seeing him as a performer. And I think it, like, his match with Cody, again, it's a similar story where people are writing off Darby Allin, right? Like, of course Cody's going to win. He's Cody. He just came off of his match with Dustin, and he's, you know, tagging with Dustin the next month at what's the other one? The
Fight for the Fallen.
Fight for the Fallen, right? Like, he's going to be going into that huge match, like brothers versus brothers, you know, against the Young Bucks and stuff. He's not going to want to go into that coming off a loss. Of course not. A loss to Darby Allin, who a lot of people haven't heard of. And so it's really going to be a test for Darby Allin to step it up and say, hey, no, I'm here. I'm credible. I'm awesome. I can totally do this. And there's, you know, that adds drama, that adds stakes to the match. And those are the kinds of promos I want to see, because it makes me want to actually watch the professional wrestling matches more than just like, I will win.
So yeah, and being on Bleacher Report is going to be a good a good hook, like you say, for people. And that's pretty much it for this week. Is there anything else I've missed we want to talk about?
I mean, I'm trying to think if there is. I know they just announced Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega for All Out. Did you see this?
I did. We kind of figured it was going to happen, but yeah, that's
it's not like a surprising announcement, but now it's out there. Now it's out there into the world. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, and like, it's going to sell out right away. And it's crazy. Like, it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan right now. Like, I'm really looking forward to a lot of the AEW stuff quite a bit. Whether WWE is pish or not, like, AEW is doing a lot of things that I'm excited about. So I think Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega is going to be great. Like, cause we didn't talk about New Japan at all, but like, I've been watching some of New Japan. I watched the Best of the Super Junior final, and I watched, parts of Dominion. And part of the reason I've been like trying to get back into those and watch them is to just see Jon Moxley as a performer, right? To see how he is different to WWE. And he seems like an entirely different guy, like 100%. When they say on commentary, it feels like the shackles and the restraints have been taken off of him. It's not hyperbole. He really does feel like a different performer in the ring. And that's what I wanted, because I was never a big fan of Dean Ambrose in the ring, but I am super a big fan of Jon Moxley in the ring. I think Jon Moxley versus Juice Robinson was fantastic. Jon Moxley versus Shota was what it was going to be, right? Like, it was him being very dominant. But I really enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm actually into him as a performer. So that's like a complete 180. And that's the kind of stuff I love. I like when, you know, wrestlers prove me wrong and I get to be invested in them.
It's good. It's good. And last thing I want to ask you about was Chris Jericho had said on, cause it was this weird thing. I watched some of Dominion and his match with Okada, and we had a cover song instead of Judas. And it turns
really?
Out that Sony wanted New Japan to pay $2,500 for the rights to Judas. And New Japan elected not to. Somebody asked Jericho about it on Twitter, and he said there was a small rights fee involved that New Japan chose not to pay. End of story. My question is, should they pay it? Should they not? What do you think?
I mean, I guess it's up to them. Like, music doesn't make as much a difference to me as it does to some other people. I mean, there are sometimes that, you know, there are certain entrance themes that I think are necessary, like Sandman's, for instance. Like, you know, watching a Sandman entrance without Enter Sandman is kind of difficult. I mean, it's up to them as a company. How much was the fee?
$2,500.
I mean, they have the money. I don't know why they couldn't have paid $2,500.
For your main event?
For your main event, right.
Can, like, you imagine how much...
It seems pretty cheap not to pay it, honestly.
Can you imagine if WWE did that, how many more people would be like on their back about it? Like, they didn't want to pay $2,500 just to have, I don't know, Kofi's theme tune?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's mental.
I mean, would they have to pay, like, ongoing fees for, like, replays and stuff? Or was it just a flat fee?
I didn't... It's going to take me too long to find that exact bit.
No, that's fine. But, like, it's... it seems like, yeah, like, would I have preferred that they paid it? Yeah, of course. Like, I didn't actually, I haven't watched Jericho Okada yet, because I haven't seen all of Naito Ibushi, and I haven't seen Jericho Okada. I've watched a fair bit of the rest of Dominion.
Have you seen that spot yet with Ibushi and...
I did, yes. I did see that spot, and it's insane. And
it's funny,
I want boys to be able to have necks.
It totally killed my... I was totally zoned out of the match after that. Because I think
it's hard to watch. Well, it's hard to watch.
When you do something that looks like you just killed somebody, I just don't think you can wrestle for 10 more minutes and just be normal. It's one of those ones like I just...
Well, I spend so much time worrying about the wrestlers and their safety and, you know, hoping that they're okay and not going to paralyze themselves after that, you know? Like, take care of yourselves. As much as, you know, there's always that mentality that the match must go on and, you know, you must continue and all this stuff. It's like, I want them to be able to walk and have lives. But I guess, like, I can't police what they do with their bodies. If they make the decision to do these crazy things and do these crazy dives, like that dive in the Dragon Lee Will Ospreay match, too, was just insane. Like, what are you doing? But that's what they're going to do, I guess. It just, yeah, I would prefer to not see stuff like that because it's heads and necks, and those are things that are very, very dangerous to mess with.
So that is it. What are the plugs, Sandra, as we leave on our shiny horses?
On our shiny horses. Okay. You can find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. You can hear Kenny and Finn talk about Super Showdown. I didn't see Super Showdown, but I enjoyed their review of it. All sorts of other bonus content going up on Patreon. Yellow Ropes Forever is coming back as a regular feature this week after I get my ass in gear into the post-takeover one. Kenny and I are recording the next one later on in the week. So if you don't watch NXT and you are interested in subscribing just to like hear us talk about it, and if that gets you more interested in NXT, I know Kyle on the Facebook group had asked, you know, is it worth watching? Is it not? Like, you know, check us out on Patreon, even just for a month, and see what you think and let us know, please. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes for interview content. I know the Tom McGee interview just went up on YouTube, which was actually pretty fascinating talking to him about his match with Bret Hart and there's a bunch of other StarCast content going up as well. And InsideTheRopes.co.uk for tickets to live events, including Awesome Kong. You said it before, so I am not spoiling that and breaking that news.
No, it's like, by the time you listen to this, the announcement's going out before I edit this. So
okay.
There's no way around it.
Okay. Well, that's happening. And I'm really excited that that's happening. And I so wish I could be there. But like, it's just really cool that it's happening. And InsideTheRopes.co.uk/tickets for tickets to that.
Yeah. And the thing is, the photo op alone is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome Kong is a terrifying individual on camera, but she's an absolute sweetheart off camera. So I'm hoping that I can get the sweetheart on stage. And she's got a lot of, you know, 15 year plus career. She trained with China at one point in the New Japan Dojo in LA. You know, she went in for Tough Enough for the WWF. She changed women's wrestling in TNA with Gail Kim. She had the run with in WWE's Karma. It didn't quite work out as we all hoped it would. And then she gets cast on one of the top 10 shows on Netflix, Glow, as the Welfare Queen, which comes back in August with Gina Davis in it now.
I'm so excited that Gina Davis is joining the cast of Glow. I cannot wait for that show to come back.
So, yeah, like and she's now with AEW, so there's no better time to bring her over in August. We're pretty hyped about it. We hope we'll see you there. And, yeah, thanks for sticking with us. Appreciate it as always. And who should play us out?
I think we should play...
Do you know what we'll play?
Let's see. What?
We've got the rights to it. We're going to play Judas, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Sure.
We're going to play it, so you should play it.
It's a good tune. You say we have the rights to it. We just aren't, you know, getting sued for it.
Shush.
Because we don't actually make any money off this. Okay, bye.
Bye.
You are innocence personified.